This week's show was actually recorded last Sunday, March 20th, but due to some editing errors and some work difficulty, we couldn't get it out last week, so we're putting it out this Tuesday. We will be back with another new episode next Tuesday. We're sorry for the delay, but Broken Embargo is back.
Blang, a blam blow. Broken Embargo.
Very nice, very nice.
I know, I try. This is the video game related podcast that we release
once
mostly
a month.
Every week.
So, should we talk about that?
We have been on somewhat of an unplanned hiatus.
Yes.
Right now it's me and Dan. Caleb has gotten a bit busy with his life and doesn't know if he's going to be continuing with the show or not, but it looks like he won't be. So it's not that we don't wish that he wasn't on the show, and we do wish him well in whatever he does, but it looks like he might have to move on, which I don't blame him. I mean, ultimately, this is just kind of a couple hours that we get together and blabble on about stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I feel terrible because we did record an episode that was supposed to go out the week after the last one, but things got really, really heated for no particular reason, and it actually ended up with one of us, leaving on air, and I felt really, really awkward just putting that on. And so I didn't release that episode. And then since then, we just haven't gotten together.
It's been busy. I've switched real jobs.
Exactly. I went to PAX.
Dan went to PAX and we just haven't gotten together, but I guess we'll be looking for a new third chair.
And also something I want to point out, especially, and maybe this doesn't matter as much to the audience, but it matters a lot to me, is that we had a lot of I want mores happen while we were gone. Like, an influx of people, noticing that the show was not updating. And Murgatroyd actually left a comment about a week ago asking if we died.
We did.
And I just want to thank everyone out there who actually is listening and decided, to prod us to make more, because I want to make more. And I think I think Caleb adds an incredible dynamic, and it's sad that, we can't have
it
him
is
on for a goodbye.
Sad that he's leaving, but I'm not gonna, beg and plead him, and he might be back for, a guest spot here and there, I'm sure, but, right now, I mean, like I said, the most that we do is we get together and we chat every week.
Exactly.
So really, this is kind of the lowest on his totem pole
priorities
of necessary things.
Right.
So it was kind of, a tough choice and an easy choice, I'm sure.
Yeah, it should be on the lowest list because he's got a lot going on. And, even if he can't join us regularly, the fact that we have podcasted together for pretty much 2 years total together is pretty friggin' incredible, and I'm gonna miss having his inputs every week because I really think he's a great guy and he adds a lot to the podcast.
Back in the GoCast days,
that was fun.
The good old days.
The good old days.
Back when we had Matt on for an episode.
Dude, I think we're in our prime right now because there are people who actually care about us.
I know. This is, surprising. And it's cool that, we at least have people clicking on the I want more. And, and I wish that people would,
comment.
Talk.
Yeah.
But, I get that. You're shy. And it happens.
And lazy.
But that's besides the point. That's enough of us getting all sobby and crying. Let's get back to the normal stuff.
Yeah.
Seeing as this was just kind of thrown together last minute this week, it's just me and Dan.
Woo.
We're going to have a little back and forth here about what's been going on. Like we said, Dan went to PAX.
Yes.
Since it's, you know, just down the road from him.
It was, yeah, then, you know, it sucks that you guys didn't come out this year.
It does suck, but...
Because, honestly, money. I think this was, so far, the best PAX.
No.
No?
Well, I mean, you know, I'll go. I mean, you know, obviously I'll try to get to another PAX, and I'll think that they're all great, but I don't think anything will be able to top, you know, that first PAX East, first PAX East, and all the stuff, and, you know, it being unorganized, and just way too many people there, and everything that happened.
Yeah, like, that's the thing. Like, if anybody out there listening, like, if you went to PAX, you know. If you don't, if you haven't gone to PAX, you have no idea. Like, it's your first PAX is always going to be, like, the one that sticks out in your mind, and you're going to have the most memories from. But everyone after that, like, the wait is longer because you know you're not going to be disappointed. Like, you know there's no chance for failure.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say, like, the Boston Convention and Exhibition Center, which it was moved to from the Hines last year, it's now the BCEC, it was the perfect space for PAX. I shit you not. They had the most attendees they've ever had, 69,500. And honestly, like, it was set up incredibly well. Like, the expo hall, it was sort of like you came in on, like, the first level, like, street level, and, mm-hmm. you know, there's the pickup for will call badges, and then there's the band land, and then behind band land, there are two escalators that sort of descended into this pit that was the expo hall, and it's just this huge floor
into a pit.
It really, well, because it was down a level, and it was, like, you know, cement floor, and it's just a huge, huge expo hall, perfect space. It was something that I've heard a lot of people say rivaled E3 in terms of just an expo hall. Just, you know, the booths and the setup and the lights and everything. And then, not only that, like, they had an equal amount of space, like, behind a wall for all tabletop games. They had a huge tabletop free play area where it's like a tabletop library. You could just pull out a board game and start playing it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and they had tables upon tables upon tables. The, like, Z-Man games were there. A lot of board game makers were there in the tabletop area. And then they had a queue room on the other side. The main theater was on the third floor, and it was the only thing on the third floor. And it was beautiful, and it was also a huge problem because it could only hold, like, 2,500 people, I think, was the max attendance, was the max amount of people up there because fire codes and stuff. But it, like, overlooked the city of Boston on the outside because there was, like, a waiting area, like, if you wanted to chill out in between the concert. And, like, huge glass wall. And then inside the concert hall, it's just big, it's perfect, the lights, the sound, everything was great. But yeah, it was set up fantastically well. I think it was the most organized they've ever been, and I think the center definitely attributed to that. I went by myself, which I think worked out to my advantage because, like, I roomed with people who I met on the PAX forums that turned out to be the funniest guys, like, you could ever room with. Like, everyone just clicked together instantly. I was actually in the hotel room by myself for a while because, like, they left me a room key and they went to the Pokemon pub crawl.
Yeah.
Which, did you go on that last year?
No, I heard about it, though, and I kind of wanted to go.
They came back. I went to bed at, like, 12:30, and they came back at 12:55, drunk as fuck. Like, only two of them came back. The third guy, who I had met before, they had left behind. Like, they forgot about him. So he's still out drinking till, like, 3 a.m., and, you know, they come in, and they're like, are you Rick or are you Dan? Are you Rick or are you Dan? And I'm like, I'm Dan. And I have a conversation with them, and they don't even remember me in the morning. Like, they just, like, I'm like, you don't remember me, do you? And he's like, no. Here's my money for the room. Okay, what's your name? Dan. Dan, I'm Sean. I know Sean. I met you last night.
Nice.
I ended up doing the PAX Pokemon League. which was pretty well organized, except for the fact that the word got out a lot about it, and ended up gym leaders having like 30 plus lines, you know. So I mean, nice. And you know, there's 12 gym leaders, but even still, they're like walking around. One person couldn't make it, so I ended up getting 2 badges, which was pretty good: the grass and then the psychic badge.
Did anybody like make it? Like
make it all the way
to the final four? Or
be
whatever?
The very best. Yeah, there were actually, I think, 2 or 3. I think there might have been 4. There might have been 4 people who actually like got all 12 or at all 8 badges. They only needed 8 to challenge the Elite Four, and then they beat all the Elite Four, and then they beat the champion. And the champion was just this like one guy who I think was like one of the head coordinators, and they beat him, and they got a hat, and they were like, you know, honored and stuff like that. And through the through the PAX Pokemon League, I ended up becoming really fantastic friends. I had actually started becoming friends with her on the PAX forums, but we were actually able to meet up, and like we went to like the Arm Cannon concert in the Jam Space, and all the and Power Glove, the Witch from last year.
Oh, really?
She's actually a fantastically nice person, like the kind of nice that like leaves a smile on your face. For like after you're done talking, like she is incredibly nice. She was dressed as the witch again, and then she dressed as Misty for a couple days. But yeah, her name's Rachel. She is a fantastically nice person, and it was so great to meet like that. I was able to meet her through the Pokemon League.
Well, that's nice.
I know. Well, that's the thing. Like that's what I'm going to talk about because PAX is all about the people. Like I mean, I played some games, and I will get to the games. But I just want to mention, like, working for Paul and Storm again, I got to meet Mike Lombardo, who you can find at MikeLombardoMusic.com. And I didn't know this before meeting him, but he's actually, like, got a huge fan base. And, like, he plays piano and violin, and he has, like, these incredible songs. And it was super awesome to work with him. And Jen Schaffer, or Schaffer or Schaefer, I don't know how to pronounce her last name, who has the best tattoos you will ever see. Like, her gaming tattoos are all up her, like, arm and her sleeve and like up to like to the top of her chest where it's like she's got a Big Daddy on one arm and like she's got KK Rider and a Ba-Bomb and Blathers from Animal Crossing, like Max from Sam and Max, like all like the best characters are Amaterasu from Okami, like all this stuff, and they're like really really well done, and like I think somebody's writing an article about her tattoos. And she's
nice.
Like super, super, super nice person. She does paintings too, and she's actually like an animator and a concept artist and a graphic designer. And if anyone needs like a painting done or anything like that, jenfolds.com. She is fan friggin' tastic. Yeah, and then Christine Hassel, who is German City Girl on Twitter, she I met her last year working for Fallout Storm just for a brief bit. She has a VIP badge, and I asked her, well, why do you and your boyfriend slash fiance slash, I don't know, I never remembered, why do you guys have VIP badges? And she told me, she's like, well, back in, like, Child's Play, the first Child's Play dinner, they won the, they had just moved to Seattle, and they won the play day at Penny Arcade, which is go to Penny Arcade and play with Mike and Jerry and the staff and stuff. And they actually ended up becoming really, really good friends with Jerry. Like, incredibly good friends. And then and she goes, yeah, we went over their house last week. Like, and then she pulls out her phone, and she's got pictures of Jerry's kid. And she's watching, like them watching Kipper together. And I'm like, oh, okay, you're awesome. and then she goes, yeah, but we didn't really click with Mike. And I'm like, what do you mean? Well, she's like, well, you know, Jerry's kind of out there, and Mike's sort of like, you know, sort of like closed in. More so than Jerry. And she goes, you know, like, we went over Mike's house a few weeks ago, and it was, like, the first time we've ever been over his house, like, in the 5 years we've known him. And he goes, no, you've been over here before. And we're like, nope, yeah, no, we haven't, Mike. Oh. Okay.
Yep.
I got to meet Scott Kurtz, too. And I got him to sign my DS, which was very nice. I go out, like, hey, do you mind signing it? I'm really, really big fan of yours. I love the clam chowder story from last year. And he's like, oh, that's awesome. You like Penny Arcade? And I go, yeah. Turns out sitting nearby was Mike Krahulik with Bill Amend and like a few other people. And Scott Kurtz starts laughing and he turns to him and goes, "Hey, Mike, this guy just asked me to sign his DS." I'm like, "So you like Penny Arcade?" And he goes, "Eh." And Mike starts laughing and I'm like, "Well, well, you know, it's true. PvP Expo." And Scott gives me a high five and it's just, it was a great, great moment. Nice. We ended up becoming good friends with the Proto Men too, who are right like the booth over from Paul and Storm.
Yeah,
they are super fantastic. Like the drummer, a really really awesome guy. One of the girls, I forget which, she's like the dirty blonde haired girl. She must be one of the singers or something. Or super super fantastic. Like PAX, if you ever get the chance, go to PAX. Even if you think you might not or you need to save up the money, do it, because it is a fantastic experience that you will never forget.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on to the games, which I'm sure you want to know about.
Games. Video games.
Video games.
What we do here.
Yeah, shut the fuck up. So, I played Fez, which was...
And?
So, it was about a maybe 10-minute demo, or 5 to 10.
Yeah.
And the guy actually started me off. It was actually, like, a corrupt play build for a while. Like, he was freaking out. I was like, "Don't worry about it, dude. Come on, it's fine. Like, relax, take a deep breath." And he's like, "I know, we were up till last night, and late last night." And so I played it. It started off, you know, you wake up, and, oh, you got to meet the elder at the top of the village. And so, you know, jumping up the village, and it's like, you know, sort of like a vertical column town. Sort of like mm-hmm. built like Wayside High School, Wayside School, if you ever read those books. And... at the top, you know, oh, it's your time to go on this adventure. And all of a sudden you're transported to, like... I was really fucking confused because I haven't followed anything about Fez. I don't know anything about Fez before I played the demo. And so...
Well, like, you've seen, like, a gameplay video.
I haven't seen any
of it. Something, haven't you?
Really?
None
of it.
Wow.
So... you know, the cube, there's, like, this cube starts rotating, and it's just, like, this big flash of colors, and then, like, the screen starts to corrupt.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just, like, goes back to the title screen, like, Fez, and so I'm like, "Oh, the demo's over." And so I put it down, and he's like, no, keep going. And I'm like, "Really?" And he goes, "Yeah, a lot of people don't get it. Maybe we should cut that out." And so I press start, and now I'm wearing a Fez, my character, and it goes through the intro again. Only this time, I'm able to rotate the world. On multiple mm-hmm. planes and, like, search for hidden clues and things like that. And it was just, you know, I found the key I needed and, like, the clues I needed to get to the end of the demo. And it was really, really interesting. I really, really liked what I played. I think it controlled great. I think it platformers have a certain, like, need for speed and jumping. Like, a certain, mm-hmm. like, to make it perfect. And I don't think
yeah.
Fez is quite there yet in terms of just, like, how the fluidity of movement.
Mm-hmm.
But with the puzzles and just, like, rotating the world, it's creative, it looks great, and...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it plays fantastically, and I realize it's only a short demo that I got, but I really want to play more. Because if the rest of the game is like that and evolves in ways that I don't know about, I can't mm-hmm. wait.
Yeah, it's been, like... how long has it been? Like, 2-3 years? Something like that?
Mm-hmm.
That it's been in development, and ever since I've seen, like, you know, the opening shots of it back then, I'm like, this is going to be an awesome game.
I'm not going to... it played great.
I don't remember what other game that guy made. He's made something else that was really good. God damn it, I got to look it up now.
Okay.
I feel like a dick.
Well, I'll start talking about something else. So, I got to play the 3DS.
Did you?
Yes, I did. And I played Super Street Fighter 4.
Mm-hmm.
And I played...
which is, like, the huge thing that
the main,
everybody's talking about.
The main
about.
Launch. And, well, I think everyone's talking about it because there were demos for it, like, everywhere. Like, you were able... like, if there was one 3DS game you were able to get your hands mm-hmm. on, it would be Super Street Fighter. Because they had tons and tons of kiosks.
Yeah.
But I played Super Street Fighter, and I played Ocarina of Time.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did a little Nintendogs.
Okay. So how's Ocarina of Time? 'Cause they say it's like, it's super different.
What do you mean by super different?
Or not super different, but filled with a bunch of extra things.
Well.
Or at least that's what they've been saying.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, So you can tell right off the bat it is not a direct port. It's not like a ROM thrown on there or anything like that, an ISO or anything like that. It's like you can tell it's got a little bit of a graphical tweak. First off, I just want to say 3DS, I don't care. I'm buying one as soon as I can because the thing looks bulky in the pictures you've seen. It didn't feel bulky at all. It didn't feel bad. The slider is a little weird, and it's going to take some getting used to, but it wasn't the worst thing in the world. It's not as bad as PSP Nub. From what I played, it was very short because they had to keep people moving because it was starting to get to a point where like the enforcers were like, "Hey, crowd control." But I was able to explore the Kiri Forest a little bit.
Yeah.
And it plays just like the original. You know, there is a lot of stuff that it seems to have been changed a little bit, like little changes that add up to something noticeable. And I can't wait to play it because it looks fantastic on a 3DS. It really does. Like, the 3D makes a difference. It's something that I can't really describe. Like, a movie 3D, don't even consider that when thinking about 3DS because the depth to it is something that words can't accurately describe. And also, the 3D slider on it works fantastically well. It is great.
Now, was the 3DS like mounted somewhere so you couldn't really move it?
It depends.
Or could you like pick it up and kind of like hold it in your hands at least?
With Nintendo, you were able to get a little bit more of your hand on it. Whereas like Capcom had it like firmly mounted in a way that you could lift it up and down and stuff like that, but it was like firmly attached.
Well, because like they say, it has to be like perfectly still to get the 3D effect.
Yes, and I was able to move. Like I was able to move it in ways to like see the difference. And that's definitely like if you shake a little bit or like you're in a car or something, it's not going to be. You're not going to notice it. Like you're really not. Because there's enough. There's a very slight margin, but it's just enough where like if you're sort of moving little bits, you're fine. When I noticed it was when I was like tilting it up and down just to see the change, and then it's a big difference. It's very huge. And I mean, if you're at the point where you are in a moving environment, something like that, where you're shuffling around a lot and stuff like that, you can turn down off the 3D and still play the game.
Right. I think I might have to do it because I just went to GameStop because I needed to get a new DS because my DS Lite wasn't connecting online.
Wow.
So I went and I got a DSi XL.
Really?
Which is pretty cool. Like, I really dig it.
Why did you choose to get a DS before the 3DS?
I was like, considering it, too, because I was there and I'm like, well, 3DS comes out, like, next week. And I'm like, well, I don't know if I want one. I don't know. The 3D might not be that great, but I might take it back and get one now.
Yeah, the thing is, like, and I played Street Fighter 4, which also controlled great and looked fantastic, and I was able to, get a few rounds in, and I was able to pick up the controls just fine,
Yeah.
I think the 3DS, it is definitely an impressive piece of hardware, and I think it's something that I'm going to pick up as soon as I can. I don't know if the games necessarily are there to support it, because I also tried Nintendogs, and Nintendogs is actually the one that sort of stole the show for everyone. Just because the 3D looks great on it. It focuses on the dog, and then everything else is death.
The games aren't there to support it yet.
Yeah.
I mean, we know what's coming out eventually, and then I'm sure that, more and more will be developed for it, and it'll blow it away, but right now, you can obviously still play regular DS games on it, right?
Yeah.
It's still a DS. It's just eventually it'll be much more than that.
Right. I think part of the reason I want to get one as soon as I can is because my DS Lite is starting to go out on me. I'm sure at some point down the road I will have the money, if I save up, to get a 3DS.
Yeah.
It's really about necessity. It's not exactly a day one thing, sort of like how the original DS was, where it's not a day one purchase, but you're going to get one. You are going to have one eventually.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I was going to get one too, but I think now that, because it's like a 7-day return policy for GameStop with used stuff, so I can just... Can you hear that in the background?
Mm-hmm. What's going on? Okay.
That's my niece. She's 3.
Ah.
So I think what I might do is I'll just take it back, because what comes out the 27th.
Oh shit.
Ooh.
Dude. How much are you going to get back for it?
Well, I mean, it'll be a return. I'll get all the money back.
Yeah, but how much did you spend?
I think it was like $150.
Oh, shit, return that.
No, I know I'm gonna. Yeah. It's just I'm gonna have to be like, even if I wait until next Friday, I'll still be, like, 2 days without a DS.
Yeah.
But whatever.
You'll live.
Still.
You'll live.
I'll go, I'll pre-order it, and I don't know which one I want to get, the black one or the blue one.
I played some Okami.
And there's bundles, too.
Bundles.
Anyway.
I played some Okami Den for the DS.
Okay.
I
haven't really been following that. Like, I've heard about it.
Apparently it came out.
Did
it? Yeah.
I thought it was
I'm seeing reviews for it.
That's not a 3DS title?
No, it's a DS. It's an original Nintendo DS title. And from what I played, it was originally... It was very Fetch Quest... just the demo that they had set up. And from what I've seen from the reviews, there are a few fetch quests in there. But you're also getting like a 20-hour game.
Right.
And it looked great. It really does. I mean, the Okami looks fantastic on the DS. And it was perfectly fine. I don't know. I want to say, yeah, it's a good game, as we all expect it to be. There isn't anything that stand out about it when I talk about, oh, hey, 3DS, you know, Ocarina of Time. Oh, and then I played Okami Den.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Why can't... No, I just want to see, like, gameplay of it. Show me gameplay. Oh, God, trailers fail.
I played some Missplosion Man. Which...
Was it just Splosion Man with a bow on it?
No. No, it was not. So they had,
really?
They had 2 levels. I played through most of the first one, and I played through the second one co-op, actually. Because that was great. Like, they had a station set up, and a few people could just walk up, and, like, we all have played Splosion Man, so we know how to play it. And the first level was actually, it sort of goes through, and I don't know if you remember, but the first boss... Where it's like, wake up, time to die, and he busts through the TVs.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that guy comes back. Only he's, like, broken down, and he's actually chasing you throughout the lab. Mm. The game actually starts off, like, right when Missplosion Man is born in the trailer. So, yeah. You know, you're going through, like, we did it, yay! And, you know, you're killing everyone. And you're being chased by the robot. Ends with you fighting him and breaking out of the lab. And then the second level is all in, you know, sort of an open environment, like, sort of cityscape. And it is a very, very awesome game. I am not going to lie, it is a huge improvement over Splosion Man. And Splosion Man was a fantastic game to begin with. You know, it's... You can definitely tell there are little things... It controls exactly the same. You know, so you know Splode tossing when co-op and just, you know, general tips and tricks. Cake has been replaced with shoes.
Shoes.
Yeah. And, you know, but, like, little things like sequences between levels are replaced with, like, you know, sort of like a psychedelic Missplosion Man dancing and stuff like that. And there are a few new mechanics that were introduced in the second level, such as this ball, this sort of energy ball a la Portal, where, you know, it bounced around once you launched it from its thing, and you actually had to get it, you had to kick it around and have it bounce into another goal, and there were operations involving switches and like activating and deactivating walls to actually get it in. And you know, there were some times where, and I don't know if this was just a co-op thing, where we would have to work together to get that ball in there, because I'm sure there's co-op in single player levels. There was scenes where, you know, we're like, it was going through like flying cars, and like trying to like explode off and do combos off of flying cars. It plays great, and there are so many little things and little differences to it, and you can tell that there's a lot of new gameplay mechanics just from those first two levels. It is something that I think is a huge improvement over the original Splosion Man, and it's something that you just got to play to understand.
Yeah.
I played Gunstringer, too. I played Gunstringer, and I played Child of Eden. And I think Gunstringer's the better game.
Really?
I'm putting them both together because they both play exactly the same.
Well, you're wrong.
Oh, okay. Did you play Child of Eden?
No.
Okay, then shut the fuck up. So.
No, I won't, all right?
Okay, well, here's the thing. Child of Eden is totally like that trippy game where it's like, you know, you're in I just burped.
Right.
And you sort of control by like sort of highlighting everything with your hand and then pushing forward to shoot, to, you know, let go. Whereas Gunstringer, your left hand is sort of the marionette where it's like you can move it left, right, you lift it up, he'll jump. And, you know, so that's the main control. And your right hand, you sort of point as a gun, and then you just, like, sort of like the recoil of your gun firing, and that's how you fire. And you highlight all your targets first, up to, like, 5, I think it is, and then you let go. And he'll just let off all his rounds. And it's, I think Gunstringer, plays better, because with Child of Eden, when you push forward, you're already sort of, and I don't know how to really put this, like, there's a disconnect between Kinect and what you're actually doing on TV where, like, you're still reaching forward. You know, you're still trying to, like, feel around the screen. So, like, you're already going forward a little bit, and then you have to push just a little more to get that fire to go off. Whereas Gunstringer feels completely natural. And, you know, Gunstringer, it was a lot of fun. Both games are great. It's just, I think Gunstringer definitely has the leg up in terms of control and feel and also price, because Child of Eden is going to be a full price game and Gunstringer is going to be an arcade title.
True.
I also have some video of Tim Schafer playing Gunstringer and failing, which was fun. Let's see, what else? What else did I play? I must have talked about something on Twitter.
Something wow.
Something to wow?
Yeah.
Star Wars The Old Republic was a 6-hour wait.
To play it?
Yeah, and that's a problem. Like, if you have a 45-minute demo, you should not be at PAX. Probably you cut that down.
6-hour, what was it like? You sign up and come back?
No, it's a huge
line. In
line. Like, people would run there in the morning, and then they'd cut it off. And, I mean, like, it's a 45-minute demo that they had them do. You know, and they're broadcasting out TV screens around the world. But even still, like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's kind of... Wow.
Yeah. Portal 2 actually had a booth, where it was sort of like, you know, closed off, so you thought you were going into play. But from what I heard, it was, and I actually saw it, because there's video on YouTube now, it's a 10-minute video showing off sort of what goes on at the start of the game, and also Cave Johnson, who is the founder of Aperture Science, that you might remember for the first game. And he's actually voiced by the guy who played J. Jonah Jameson
J.K. Simmons.
In Spider-Man and Juno's dad in Juno. So, and he actually does a fantastic job. Stephen Merchant and whatever his name is, J.K. Simmons, did are the highlight of the video. Because Stephen Merchant does an incredible job as Wheatley. It's incredibly funny from the very beginning.
Did you see, wasn't Duke Nukem there?
Duke Nukem was there. And, I did not play it, because there was also, like, a few hour wait. It was also the same demo from PAX Prime. Mm-hmm. And plus, the game's coming out pretty soon, so.
Right.
But they also had an issue, at the Duke Nukem Forever booth. I don't know if you heard about
that.
So, there were some booth babes going on there.
Yeah, I remember hearing something about that, and I'm going, wait a minute, booth babes aren't allowed at PAX.
Exactly. So they were, you know, sort of dressed up as schoolgirls in, you know, tight clothing. Sprint had a couple too. But, and so, you know, the PAX Twitter feed said, we're dealing with the Duke Nukem Forever booth babe issue. And apparently, Koo and a few people actually went down to the booth and talked to the girls. And as it turns out, first off, it wasn't like they, like, the cosplayers were showing more skin than the girls were. Mm. And, I mean, you could take pictures with the girls on, like, a throne. But even still, like, the girls knew an incredible amount about the game that they might have actually been on the Gearbox staff. Like, apparently they knew, like, so much about the game that Robert, that Koo was, like, okay with it. And they proved their validity. And not only, like, they were pretty tame. Like, they weren't, like, having people, like, you know, oh, hey, boys, and pulling open their shirts and, like, all this stuff, come play Duke Nukem Forever! Or, like, you know, like, taking really awkward pictures. It was just sort of like, you know, pose on either side of the throne or just, you know, talk to people about the game and what games they also play. Because apparently people were talking to them in line and like, what games do you play? And the girls would list, oh, yeah, you know, Elite Beat Agents, a little Borderlands, stuff like that. You know, they were clearly people who played games and knew a lot about the game. So, I mean, whether or not they crossed the line is still up for debate, but they were more than just hired sluts.
Nice.
That, which is the best way I can put that.
Well, that's good, yeah. Then. What else was announced? Prey 2 was announced at PAX, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Just a trailer, though.
Yeah.
Or a screen or something.
Still.
Yeah.
I never got around to playing all of Prey. I don't remember if I played a demo of it or what, but I remember whatever I played of it was pretty cool. So this could be a good game.
I played a upcoming Xbox Live Arcade game called Shoot Many Robots.
Aha!
Yes. That was actually... It's... How did I describe it? I put it on Twitter as, like... It looks like Borderlands. It looks like if Borderlands was a Contra game.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it just, like... It's seriously like you're on the outskirts of New Haven going through shooting these robots. It's very Contra, you know, co-op... your class is actually determined by what weapons you pick, so you know, it's totally customizable in that respect, and it played fantastically well. I mean, I actually had a lot of fun with it. I don't know if it's going to be the greatest game in the world, but from the levels that I played with another guy and then one of the developers watching and commenting and things like that, I could tell that they really care about their game, and it shows. And just the overall design of it's. I mean, it looks great. It plays. It's perfectly Contra. That's the best way I can put it. Like they copied Contra and they copied it well.
Right. Yeah. That's what it looks like. It looked like it was either like Contra or Metal Slug or just really lots of crazy type gameplays from what I saw on videos. BioShock was at PAX, weren't they?
BioShock Infinite?
Yeah.
Am
I thinking of GDC?
They were and they weren't, because actually, right when you walked in, like, you know, there's the badge pickup and Bannon that was behind it, but, like, the first thing you see is this giant thing called Him from BioShock Infinite, which sort of looks like, as Paul and Storm put it in an email to us, a steampunk bird thing busting out of a wall.
Yeah. I remember seeing, like, a video of it. It looks like a big daddy dragon or something like that.
Yeah, I think it's actually the one from the trailer that was, like, 10-minute gameplay or something. But they weren't really doing anything. They were giving out splicer masks, raffles. They were tossing out T-shirts. You could take a picture with somebody dressed as Elizabeth from BioShock Infinite, but they weren't showing off anything, though. So that was kind of a little, like, okay, then.
Right.
I played a game called Swarm, which is coming out for PS3. PS3.
You played a PS3 game?
Yeah, it's coming out in the PSN store.
Oh,
fuck you! You know, there, like, honestly, there was a lot of Xbox Live Arcade stuff dominating the floor, and, like, I was surprised to see a, you know, PS3 booth. And it was,
I think that's just... I think Xbox Live Arcade is just more readily available than PS3.
Very true. But it's sort of like a side-scrolling platformer with Pikmin, because you control basically a swarm of little blue guys, and you have to get them through the level. And the more you get through the level, you know, the higher your score. There's combos going on. It's all about score. You know, how high can your score go? If the person who had the highest score at the end of the event got like a signed PS3, and like their highest score was higher than anybody on the dev teams. You know, it's because you know there's combos going on. You have to go quick to keep your combo going from like times six to times seven, and at the same time you're trying to control this group of little blue guys because you're going to lose some. Like there's minefields that you have to navigate that you are not going to be able to save them all. There are certain timed jumps going on. There's all bunch of things, and it played like a lot of fun. It was. I'm describing it as like Pikmin because. You're basically that's all you're doing. Like, you're controlling your Pikmin and trying to save them all. I don't know how it'll translate to a full fledged game, just because from what I played, like I feel like I got enough of the game in just one level. But it seems like it's gonna be something to check out when it comes out because I don't know. I had a lot of fun with it.
Yeah.
And I realized last year, you know, I was like, oh man, Split Second's gonna be great, but like.
Well, Split Second was good.
Yeah, and it was
like,
good.
We all played it, and we're like, oh, that's really good.
Where I was like, Breach is going to be fantastic.
Yeah, that was the one where even I was like...
Hydrophobia, man!
Yeah, I will admit, I was wrong about Hydrophobia. I was, like, super pumped for that game.
So, I mean...
I think because they promised so much, and they just failed.
Well, that water, man.
But...
Yeah. But so I went into these games sort of like, you know, a little bit skeptical, but from what I've played, they're a lot of fun. I don't know if on any of these really, if I'm going to shell out the $10 just because I'm cheap when it comes to downloadable games.
You are cheap.
Yeah.
Unless it's Super Meat Boy.
Unless it's Super Meat Boy. Yeah. Or Beyond Good and Evil.
Yeah.
But they're all a lot of fun, and I think they're going to find their own definite audience when they come out.
For sure.
Yeah.
Well, I assume that's... I think you were grasping at straws there for the last few games.
Grasping at straws?
So I assume you're through everything you've seen?
I'm trying to think. Do you want me to... The final round of the Omegathon, which I think was fantastic...
Sure. What was that?
So, you know, for PAX East, they do two-person teams, and they have the teams come on stage. We were actually, the enforcer who did the Bandland area was nice enough to let all the workers come up before everyone else got in. So we were, like, front stage, front of this, like, it was great. Two teams are on stage, and Jerry goes, now, you know there's a twist because you've seen reality television. I would like one person from each team to switch. And so one person from each team, and we're all like, oh, and they switch. And Mike goes, can you destroy that which you have come to love? And then we're all like still going, oh, and Jerry goes, nah, we're just fucking with you, switch back. And so, you know, they're talking it up, and they're like, you know, so... This final game is quite possibly the most visually complex game we've had. We knew it was just enough to break our Omeganauts. You may have played it on a Dreamcast, and it may be a little bit racist, even. And they pull back the curtain, and, like, you know, they're playing this epic music and the strobes going, and it's just two TV screens set up with two GameCubes, and on each of the screens in the hall, you know, sort of broadcast to the audience, is Ikaruga. Yeah, so... And, like, we're all, like, cheering, and it was Score Attack, where, you know, the first... they were explaining it, how the scoring system is complete bullshit, where, you know, you can shoot bullets, you can absorb bullets, you can shoot three of a kind to get more points, you can shoot magic bullets, it's fucking insane. And so the first round was going to be unlimited lives, you know, just get as many points as you can. And then the second round was five lives. And if both teams lost all five lives, they wouldn't do a third round. And whoever had the biggest, whichever team had the most score at the end, won. And got a trip to Gamescom in Germany. And it was clear that somebody on one of the teams had played Ikaruga, like, last week. Because they were really fucking good. Like, we could already tell from the first round they were going to win. But the second round came, and it was really, really intense. Because there was some... incredible switching going on from black to white, and the other team that ended up losing They one of their players dropped out. Like, they lost all their five lives. And so the other member was left with three lives and had to go through pretty much 75% of the level by themselves, which was completely insane. And actually ended up getting farther and almost got to the third round. Like, was one HP on the boss left. And actually beat out the other team in terms of progression in the level. And it was absolutely insane. Like, it's something you gotta watch, because I know there's videos on YouTube. Like, the crowd is going in absolutely fucking crazy about a GameCube game going on right on the screens. And it was it was a fantastic way to end back.
So that's all that they had, though? Was Ikaruga?
Ikaruga, yeah.
Because last year, or last PAX East, didn't they have, like, this whole chain of stuff?
They had, like, a four-game relay.
The Claw?
Well, PAX Prime, they had the Claw.
Or no, the Claw was at PAX Prime.
But the PAX East was a four-game relay where it was, like, old NES games. And they actually had to reset it, like, three times because the NES games just stopped.
Yeah.
I think Ikaruga was definitely, you know, it's sort of like, oh, it's one game. But at the same time, if they had to pick a game, it was the most intense thing to watch. Like, people were going fucking nuts in the audience watching the screens.
Hmm.
It wasn't exactly something you could comment on, like the Omega Claw, because the Omega Claw was something of its own league, you know.
Yeah. Huh. So successful PAX.
I think, like, I'm never gonna forget this PAX. I want to go back there right now. And
that's how. Heck, when we got back from PAX East last year, how long did we talk about it? For, like, 3 months.
Yeah.
So.
Also, I one last thing. I don't know if you saw, but I scored something that nobody else will ever own from PAX East.
Jonathan Colton's parents?
No, that's a story in and of itself. Me and Jen are working at the booth, and, you know, we're just, like, drawing on the table, and we're just talking, we're having a great time. And, like, this, like, sort of, like, four old people walk up. And it's clear that they're, like, you know, here, like, in the wrong place. And we're sort of like, can we help you? And they're just like, yeah, hi. Do you know where Jonathan is? And we're like, Miss Jonathan Colton? And she's like, yeah. Where's parents? And we're like, oh! Hold on a second. We you know, called Paul and Storm on their cell phones. Like, hey, Jonathan's parents are here. And apparently the other two old people were his neighbors. So,
nice.
Like, his parents and his neighbors are here, so you might want to send them down to get them. But the other thing I scored was after the hall closed, I was able to snag the Bandland banner for Scott Kurtz and Chris Straub.
Oh, right. You got some trash.
I got some trash. Trash?
Something they were probably going to throw out anyway.
Fuck you. I think it's pretty damn awesome.
It's kind of cool.
It's something. It's also, like, it's not, like, paper. You know, it's tarp. It's, like, sort of like a tarpy material.
Yeah.
So it's on the wall. And it's something nice to remember PAX East 2011 by. And my friends. My new friends that I've made.
Bah.
What have you been playing this week, Eric?
I checked out a little game called Slam Bolt Scrappers.
Really?
Might have heard of it.
Tell me about Slam Bolt Scrappers.
Did you haven't played
it
at all? Oh, well, it's like Tetris meets Smash Brothers meets Tower Defense. Is probably, like, the easiest way to describe it. So what happens is you're, like, this guy flying around on the screen, and you're fighting another team who is another guy flying around on the screen. And this is the single-player mode, and they have a up to four-player mode that you can play local. I don't know if they have online or not. But, so what happens is you have these, you know, up to four people on the screen, and then they have these enemies that fly in, and you're supposed to go and attack the enemies and kill them, and then you're also supposed to try and take out, you know, the other people on the other team, and when you kill the enemies, they turn into blocks, which you take back to your tower, and then you can build it up Tetris style, and when you make, I think it starts out as four. So, like, when you make a box, it turns into a gun, some type of weapon that'll attack either the other tower or the other players. And then they can get bigger depending on how many blocks you build up. So, you know, you build up these blocks of the same color, and it's like purple is a giant laser, and blue makes a missile launcher, blue is a shield, and red is a missile launcher, something like that. And so the whole point of this game is to keep building your tower up bigger and better, and take out the other people's towers, and take out the other people's so that they can't build up their towers more. And it's just like this mass chaos that happens on screen that is like almost really hard to handle, but at the same time, it's like super fun to play. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like probably one of my favorite arcade games in a long time. I got it on the PS3. I don't know if it's out on Xbox or not.
No, it's just PSN exclusive.
Might not be. Is it? Well, good, because it's awesome. Seeing as it came out a couple weeks ago, I tried out Beyond Good and Evil HD.
Yes.
Which it sounds like you did, too.
I bought it. It's great.
Yeah, it's good. I don't know, like, it doesn't seem like it's so much better than what I got off of Good Old Games. I mean, I got Beyond Good and Evil on Good Old Games. And,
thing is, when did you
get
it?
When did
you buy it?
Beyond Good and Evil? Like, a while ago when Good Old Games was launched.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I guess I haven't, like, put both of them on and checked it out, but, you know, I mean, it's the same game, right. So, you know, if you haven't checked out Beyond Good and Evil, it's definitely worth checking out, and if you don't have a copy and you want a new copy, I'd probably go with the 360 version just because, you know, they've updated the controls at least to fit that controller, so, you know, awesome game. I also checked out Torchlight.
Really?
For XBLA. I didn't buy it. I checked out the trial, though. It controls really well with the Xbox 360. I think from what I've read, they've had to, like, basically recreate the game almost from the ground up just to be able to have it play with a controller rather than a mouse and keyboard. Mm-hmm. But, you know, all three of the classes play really good, and they, the only difference is, like, I think the maps aren't random anymore in the Xbox version, like they were in the PC version. Hello? They're randomly built dungeons. I think, I'm not totally sure, but it seemed like it anyways. And then the only other thing is that obviously with the Xbox version, you're not able to what was that? Hold on. We're trying to get the call back. Are you there? Is that me?
Hello.
All right.
Yeah,
then.
My.
I don't know if that was.
No, my computer decided to take shit.
Oh, right. Anyway. Where was I in Torchlight?
You were talking about something being missing.
You know, because it's on Xbox rather than PC, obviously you can't do anything other than, you know, Torchlight as it is.
Right.
Know? And Torchlight on PC was made to be...
modded.
You know, modded to death. Which is cool. So I didn't... I decided to not pick it up because... Right. Plus, I already have the copy there. So, right. And then other than that, I think
something,
what, you know...
just before we leave it, like, I don't know if you checked, but Torchlight is now, like, I think the top downloaded game on Xbox Live.
Oh,
like,
yeah. It's really
it
good.
It has skyrocketed. It beat Castle Crashers for top download and, like, top rated. And, like, Beyond Good and Evil is catching up. Like, these are two games that people really fucking wanted.
Yeah. I mean, if you don't have a copy on the PC, or if you didn't really like the feel of the control on the PC, definitely get it for 360. Like, it's really good. And, I mean, it's Torchlight. And Torchlight was awesome. It was like this, you know, I mean, it was made by the people that made Diablo.
Right.
You know? So they know what they're doing with this type of game. And it's really, really good. I mean, it's not to say that, you know, what I said about it doesn't make it any less good. It's just I prefer it on the PC because you can mod it, and I'm just used to those controls.
Right.
So it's still really good and a lot of fun for anybody that hasn't tried it yet. I mean, I was waiting for it to come out just to see what it would be like. So good on them.
Yay!
And then Beyond Good and Evil HD, I believe, is supposed to come out for PSN in May. I think it's May. So I'm sure that will also be unbelievable.
Well, hopefully,
May.
Like, because Beyond Good has been selling really well. Hopefully, it gives them the incentive to fucking put out anything for Beyond Good and Evil 2.
Yeah. I hope that this was like, you know, aside from being an HD remake, I hope that this is like
the warning shot,
you know, some type of testing the waters to say, oh, well, yeah, I guess people really do want Beyond Good and Evil 2.
Yeah. Now, please, actually.
Like people aren't just saying anything about it. But, and then I think the other thing that, like, everybody's been playing, if they, you know, care about awesome things at all, Pokemon.
Hey!
Of course.
You've been playing?
Of course I've been playing. I've been playing like a super ton, and it's really kind of slow because I feel like I need to grind all my Pokemon up.
I'm seriously like, I want to pick up Pokemon Black and White. I'm just not sure when, like if I should wait a little bit. But like,
you haven't gotten it
yet? Because I was very focused on the Pokemon League and playing Heart Gold and Soul Silver.
Oh, damn.
What?
You need to get it.
Okay, well, when do I need to get it?
Like, this... Now.
Well, GameStop closed 15 minutes ago.
Well, tomorrow, then. Because all the cool people are playing. No, but it... I mean, it's, you know... At the bare bones, it's Pokemon. Obviously, it's another Pokemon. It's however many new Pokemon are out there, although, like, people are saying that it's, like, really original with, like, or someone was saying that. I think it was Caleb was talking about how the Pokemon are original to this one compared to other ones. And, remember the Pokemon in real life animation? It was like, I got a dog. I'm gonna call you dog. So, You have the first three, right, where you have to pick one. And
Tepig, Snivy, and Oshawott.
Yeah, okay, so those are cool. And then you go into it, and the first one I came across was...
Doug.
What was it? Pararat, which was a rat beaver type thing. Then we got Lillipup, which is a dog. And then we got... what was it? Some type of cat. and a pigeon.
The pigeon is my favorite. Like,
it is like, it is, I don't remember what it, it's like, I don't remember what it's called,
it's
but
P-dove.
It's like pigeon.
P-dove. So yeah. It's like pigeon slash dove.
Pie-dove. Yeah, it's pigeon slash dove.
Love that it looks exactly like a pigeon too. Like there's nothing Pokemon about it. Yeah. It is a pigeon.
Ah, it looks like a pigeon. Lillipup is literally a dog. Like it's brown and everything, and then the cat one is, you know, it's purple.
Will Lillipup evolve into a monkey?
I don't know, but it's. It's just, it's funny, and it's like, the first thing, once I got all of them, and I started thinking, well, I'm like, this is Pokemon in real life.
Also, what I hear is that there's a second starter you get?
Well, yeah, it's, if what I'm thinking about is, you start out the game, and you pick your starting Pokemon, and then you go to the first gym, and the first gym is, these 3 liters of, like, fire, water, and grass. And you fight the one that is opposite of what you picked first.
Yeah, what's stronger against you.
Right. So I picked grass, so I had to fight the fire one. And then before you go in there, it's like, you know, you should find this kind of Pokemon. Go into this next area, and you'll be able to do whatever. And so I go into this next area, and I'm fighting these trainers, and then all of a sudden I talk to one, and he's like, oh, yeah, you need to... You picked a grass type, so you obviously need a water type to be strong against fire. Here, have this Pokemon. And it gives me a water monkey thing.
Called, I think it's Panpour.
Yeah, that's it.
There's Pansage, Panpour, and Panseer.
Panseer, yeah. And it's just like, here you go. So I'm like, oh, that's cool. And you know, all I need now is to find a water type. Which was like
a fire,
or a fire type. So yeah, it was kind of weird, and it kind of, I don't know, kind of, it doesn't really, I guess, take away from like the difficulty.
Kind of cheapened that first experience, though.
Yeah, like you know, when you first played Pokemon, and like you pick your thing, and then
where it's like
you go out a little bit, and then the first time you meet like Gary after a while. You know, you can beat him, but then it's like his Pokemon against your Pokemon, and his is the better one. You know, it always kind of had that extra challenge.
Because there was that extra challenge depending on which one you picked. Like, I mean, even if you picked Wartortle, if you taught him Ice Beam, you could beat Ivysaur. But like, there was stuff like, you know, the first few gyms where it's like, you know, you pick Charmander, you're in for some shit.
Yeah. Like it was a tougher game. Like he was the tougher Pokemon.
Yeah.
But it's still fun. And then it's got the you know, the new look to it with like the added dimension type things.
Yeah.
Which is really cool. Like it just kind of adds those little effects to things and being able to go up and down stairs and have the world kind of. Or at least the camera kind of
adjust,
you know, change with you and adjust and that kind of stuff. It really is kind of cool. And the online stuff, I'm not really sure I get, but it's not even going yet. It doesn't start until the 30th.
Really?
But there's this game sync option where I don't get why they don't just, like, explain it normally. But they're, like, explaining it in, like, Pokemon technical logic. So it's like, your Pokemon needs to go to sleep. And while it goes to sleep, we're going to collect its dreams. And when it wakes up, you can get those dreams. And I'm like, what does this mean? I don't know. So I haven't even been able to test it out because the server isn't up yet.
Right.
But, like, there's this, it's called Game Sync, and I don't know if it just, like uploads your save game, and you can get other people's save games and interact with that somehow, but there's something, and it does stuff. Video games. I don't know how to explain it other than that. It's got, you know, aside from that feature, you know, it's got the global trade station, in, you know, online battles, and that stuff's kind of cool.
Whoa, hey, I don't know if you've been on Twitter or anything during this, but this just happened 30 minutes ago.
This just happened.
We launched a strike on Libya. 100 Tomahawk wow. missiles.
We didn't. French.
No, American and British forces are targeting.
Wow.
Yeah, the French fighter jet destroyed a military vehicle, but we launched missiles.
Yeah, basically the world's going.
Oh, okay. I don't know. I just thought that was really like, whoa! This just breaking news. You'll hear on Tuesday.
Yeah. Anyway. Pokemon.
Oh, yeah. Hey, speaking of Pokemon and ending the world and stuff, what's up with Team Plasma? Like, we shouldn't use Pokemon for fighting?
I don't know. It's like a weird thing. Like, they're obviously the Team Rocket of the game, but, like, their whole thing is like, Pokemon need to be free, so we're going to steal them from everybody, and all of our people that are on Team Plasma use Pokemon normally, but, like, they shouldn't be kept in Pokeballs
right.
at all. And it's like, what? I'm not sure I get it, but okay. Like, that's all it's been for me, is like, oh, okay, you're obviously the bad guy, and maybe you'll make sense down the road.
That's the hope.
You know, I kind of just preferred it to be, you know, we just want to steal Pokemon.
When are they going to bring Team Rocket
now
back? They should do that.
Yeah, but now it's like this weird thing. I don't know how to explain it. I mean, it's they steal Pokemon, but they're trying to free Pokemon, and they use Pokemon normally, even though they don't like people to do
right.
that. So, yeah. That's what I've been doing. Not necessarily as glamorous as going to PAX, but...
Oh. Still good.
Next week, maybe.
Yeah.
The week after, maybe. We'll see if I get the 3DS.
Well,
and we'll chit chat about that.
I think we should wrap this thing up.
Yeah, let's wrap this
up. Because I feel like we did a good time. I feel like it was a good sort of welcome back.
Yeah, there's not really anything. I mean, even in the news that I have in the links. Is really kind of stuff that we, Meat Boy on the Wii, officially dead.
Well, that, yeah.
They've tried to get that to work, and they've just said that they can't do
right.
it. Minecraft, Mojang, their next game is called Scrolls,
mm-hmm.
and it is going to be some type of online trading card game. And it looks pretty cool, and the writing is supposed to be from Jerry from Penny Arcade, so always good. If Caleb would be on here, he would be super excited that Catherine is coming to North America. Catherine is the weird game from Atlas dealing with... cheating on your girlfriend and having nightmares that will kill you. Infamous 2, something I want to talk about, which is really cool. They're, like, turned into Little Big Planet. Infamous 2 is on the PS3, and it's the game where you can throw lightning and stuff.
Right.
Well, they have decided that they want to include a basically a level editor where you can create your own levels and game types in the game, making, you know, basically turning it into like Little Big Planet. Like, there's people making like shooting gallery type games and like different types of platformers, and you can make like escort missions, and all these things will be able to pop up in the game and you'll be able to play them. So that's like really cool. Like that doesn't really happen a whole lot in a mainstream title like this. So to actually have it happen, that's really, really cool. Trenched, Double Fine's next game that I don't know how they're coming up with these things.
I am like, you know what? A Double Fine has been on a roll of just like putting shit out.
I mean, we got a game about costumes and Halloween. We got a game about
stacking
Matryoshka dolls. Stacking dolls. And now we got a game about
hey, don't forget Sesame
World
Street.
War One. Oh right, Sesame Street. That's
oh, Jesus.
Coming out. And now we have a World War One trench warfare mech game.
Kind of different from Sesame Street.
It's kind of different from like everything. Like this is like somebody's, you know, acid trip realized into a game form.
Right.
I could just see somebody sitting on a couch going like, what if aliens attack during World War One, and we use like these robots to attack the aliens? Yeah. Like I could, like I don't know how this happens. But like they're coming out with all these games. It's gonna be a downloadable title. Xbox 360 and PSN. It looks cool. They have a trailer up that, you know, looks kind of fun. I mean, I don't doubt that the game won't be fun, but let's see. Oh, we have Shadow of the Colossus and Ico being re-released in HD form eventually, which awesome. Probably going to be released, I imagine, sometime around or before The Last Guardian comes out, I would bet. I don't think they've announced a date when it's coming out.
Did you know Reach is on Games On Demand? Yeah,
is it?
And it's 50 bucks.
Look at that. So if you haven't gotten Reach yet, scoop that up, I guess.
Also, I gotta pee.
Dan's gotta pee, so we gotta wrap this up.
Well,
yeah.
Should I do some plugging?
Do some plugging.
All right. Well, thank you for listening to Broken Embargo. You can find more, well, you will have more episodes up at unnamedgaming.podomatic.com. There you can comment on the show like Murgatroyd does, and also click the We Want More button right there. You can visit Eric on the web. Eric, you got anything new going on?
I'm on brokenembargo.ning.com.
No, he's not. And of course, please check out what Caleb's doing, because he's making some really great stuff. Deathbychopsticks.com. You can also follow us on Twitter, DanUNG, eCopVol. And if you want to keep up with what Caleb's doing in the future, Zotig with an X.
Yes.
You can check out the Controller Throw podcast by Mikey and Benway, controllerthrow.com. Alex Jones's Start Select Talk podcast. You can check that out. My friend Jen that I met from PAX has a podcast starting up called Plus 10 Charisma. I can't say it's going to be any good, but I'm just throwing it out there.
that's nice.
I mean, I can't because I haven't heard it, but from what I've from talking to her, it's clear that it's going to be very, very well thought out, and actually sounds like it's going to be pretty great, because she is an incredible person that I met, and I think that it's going to be pretty, pretty good, so you should probably check that out when it comes out. You can also email us, brokenembargo@gmail.com. And I just want to end off with a tweet I sent out today that Eric decided to respond to, because I feel like it's a nice way to end the show. This is a quote from my girlfriend. Daniel, you say so many things on a regular basis that make me think you're gay. To which you responded, Eric, she's not the only one.
It's true. I mean, the things you say just make me wonder
like
sometimes.
What?
How for a while you were like, oh, Glee's out. Gotta go watch Glee.
So? It's a good show.
It's good.
They did some original songs this week, and they were pretty good.
It's, I don't know.
Oh, wow, we got dropped.
And
hello?
I muted myself.
Oh.
I was going to say, I like how your girlfriend had control of your Twitter.
Did she?
What was it, last week or whatever? Not last week, Wednesday. She's like, he's watching something on TV.
Oh, let me see here. Let me see.
What were you watching? It actually surprised me that you watched.
Hi, this is... Oh, hi.
Silent Library.
No, okay. So she was... We were flipping through the channels. There was nothing else to watch. We just put it on in the background. It's a really dumb show. But I enjoy watching stupid skater punks in pain. I enjoy that, so...
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is, too. But it's funny. The Japanese version's funny, too.
Well, I guess that's it for this week's show.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Kind of. We need to work on our endings.
I think we do, because I don't think we know how to end.
No, we just kind of... Oh, okay, yep. We're done.
All right. See you next time.
Anyway, yeah, we'll see everybody next week. We will actually have a
Yay.
Show next week. 2 weeks in a row, promise.
Yay.